Tonight, it's going to be a little different than what I'm ordinarily acclimatized to. Tonight, I thought we would get into a little discussion, and maybe when it's all over with, I'll allow you to ask some questions or make some contributions. But I'd like to deal with the subject tonight, the current psychological hoax, getting men to fear. The other day I wrote a couple of words because in my heart something gelled regarding current situations in our country and around the world. And I wrote, failure never. Disappointments, yes. If you like to turn it around the other way, disappointments in life, yes. Failure, never. There are two great motivations in life for every human individual. One is love, the other is fear. And all men will either be motivated by the principle of love or by the principle of fear. And because there's so little known about true love, most of the world and most of society and most individuals all over the world are motivated by what to do something and to carry out something by fear. Every newspaper, basically every advertisement that you see, tries to influence you to the end. If you don't do this, this is what will occur to you. You know, if you don't brush with the right toothpaste, you get so many percentages more. The whole philosophy, basically, that I was born and raised under, and you were, and especially you that have been born in the last 30 years, has been a philosophy of fear. The things you do is because of fear. The two types of believing. There's positive believing and negative believing. One type produces positive results. The other, the negative type, produces fear. And with that fear come all the negative consequences. I believe that the human mind is the most delicate of all members in the human body. I think your mind, your head, your mind is the most delicate part of your entire body. You make all your decisions, or you're controlled by what or how you think. The programming of the human mind is much more fascinating than the programming of the world's most outstanding computer. And it's much more fascinating because the mind stores innumerable data far beyond what the world's largest computers can store, and the mind stores it much more accurately and much more in detail. The learning process in the programming of the mind is very, very simple. When you're programming computers, you can't get anything out of that computer except what you put in. The human mind is exactly like that. You cannot get out of your mind any more than what you put in it. You can get less, but you can't get more. And as you have programmed your mind, so you have made decisions and continue to make decisions. The only way you can change a program on a computer is by changing the information that has been put into it, by correcting it. Perhaps I can illustrate this a little bit to you regarding physical food. There was a time in my life when I believed that the only important thing was is to not be hungry. So I put anything in my stomach that stopped me from being hungry. I believe this perhaps is still the concept most people hold. If you're hungry, eat something. No matter what it is, just eat it. Because when you're no longer hungry, then your body is taken care of. I do not believe that anymore. I did it one time, but I rearranged the programming of my mind. It's not in the amount of food, but how nutritious is the food. Because you could fill your stomach eating stones. How much nutrition would you get out of that type of food? So it is with the human mind. Most people have never paid any attention to the learning processes of the human mind. You can graduate from colleges, from universities, from the highest academic institutions in the world, and hardly anybody ever teaches you the truths regarding the programming of the mind. I said to Craig Martindale this morning and to Donna, we were sitting and talking before the 10:30. Craig was late because I forgot the time, the 10:30 time this morning. Education basically should be primarily teaching people how to live. That's what education ought to do. Is to teach someone how to live. And how to live not only just exist, but a life which is more than abundant. But basically all of our modern education, as we see it from kindergarten, preschool, kindergarten, all the way through, is not primarily to teach people how to live, but to teach them how to make money in the life that they have. People go to college, universities, other places of learning, not because they really want to learn how they can live personally a life that is more than abundant to bless others, but how can I get a better job? How can I make more money? How can I get to the top of the rung of the ladder? That's our current teaching. That's how our minds have been programmed. That's why so many mothers and fathers have wanted their children to go to college. And if I've heard one person say it, I've heard a thousand say it through the years. I never want my son or daughter to have to go through what I did. I want them to go to college. Well, why did they want them to go to college? Primarily because they wanted them to do less work and get more money. That's right. You never go beyond in this life what you put in your mind. Because all the decisions in your life are made by what you have in your mind. Psalm 23:7 says, as a man thinketh in his heart. Now you know good and well man doesn't do the thinking in the ticker down here, in his physical heart. The heart represents the total man. You do your thinking in your head, right? But what it's saying, it's a figure saying, with all of your head, with all the knowledge you have, as a man thinketh, so is he. In the past couple of weeks, we the peoples of the United States again have been bombarded by information which has been programming our mind in an inflammatory way. And this because of a certain religious group who, according to the periodicals, the papers, everything else, decided to commit suicide, either by taking poison or, as they say, at the end of guns, I'm not sure. And in its wake, the whole machinery in our country has been growing to put a so-called curb on sex, S-E-C-T-S. If they would try the other, it might be more interesting. Also referred to as cults, putting the curb on so-called cults. And to do this, the citizens of certain states that have been associated with certain groups have really been whipped into a flame of fire. And so they want to investigate all cults and try to do certain things to cults. I do not quite understand some of these things. Why don't they discontinue all over the world now the poison that those people took? Then nobody would die of that poison anymore. That, to me, I could think about. It's like the same old cry. A Kennedy gets shot. Then now we want to take everybody's gun and registers everybody's gun so that there'll be no more shooting of people. One makes about as much sense as the other. Since those people decided to take poison or something and die, so now we take that which they drank or whatever it was, and we law it, outlaw it completely. Or because somebody gets shot with a gun, we now take the guns of everybody, register them, which is only the first step in taking them away from you. So nobody has any guns. But people someplace, I believe in the Constitution of the United States of America, it gives us a right to have guns in our possession. And the Constitution of the United States is the law of our land, like the Word of God is the law for those who want to be believers. Taking all the guns away from all you people isn't going to get the gun away from the criminal who wants to use it. Taking all the poison that those people killed themselves away is not going to stop people from getting poison who want to get killed by poison. And so the government has been real involved along with a lot of people. And as I said, I can't understand it. If the government wasn't involved in getting them to get in the first place, I have a question I'd like to ask. If the government wasn't involved in getting them there, then why is the government involved in bringing them back after they're dead? You know, if you've got yourself over here, who ought to get you home? You. You brought yourself here. Justin Wilson would say you brought yourself home. If they were American citizens, they had to have entree into that country. They want to go to that country. They want to die in that country. Let them stay in that country. But somehow or other, the American taxpayer paid to fly them home. Why? Unless the government was involved in some way or other. There's a little thing involved in the United States Army, Navy, all the military services. We have a war. Our people are killed because they carry out the government orders. The government brings the body what? They ought to. They're the ones that instituted it, so they bring it home. I wonder why our government, with our taxpayers' money, had to bring all of those people back home. Oh, I know what you're going to say. Daddy and Mommy wanted them. That's right. I didn't want them, but I'm a taxpayer. You're a taxpayer. If their daddy and mommy wanted them home, why didn't daddy and mommy what? Fly them home. That's right. It reminds me a great deal in the past week, 10 days, 2 weeks, about Acts 19, Demetrius the silversmith, where he stirred up a whole mob of people who were out lynching, killing and destroying. And we're right now in our country again, pouring gasoline on the fires and just endeavoring to get people so terribly excited about something that we can do lynchings, mob people, almost like burning them at the stake. That some of you know about the history of the past. In Matthew 13, and in verse 21, talking about the parable of the sower and the seed, and thank you for that beautiful picture of the sower, which I received today. Talking about the sower, there's one tremendous truth in here, a lot of them, but this one, particularly the one that I want to hit tonight when I'm dealing with this, the psychological hope, fear in our country. The hopes of the psychological hope, no hope to it. 21, 13, 21. He hath no root in him, but dureth, endureth, standeth for a while. But when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by, as the English King James meaning immediately, he splits out, he stumbles, he is offended, he falls, he gives in. This thing that has been happening in our country is primarily aimed at retarding the outreach of the integrity and accuracy of the greatness of God's Word. Now the people who will freak on this and drop out are people who were never committed to God's Word anyways in the first place. In the past week, I've had at least 25 long-distance phone calls from over the United States. Parents concerned about their children in the Way Ministry. It's been an awful time. Not only have I had this from parents, but we've had it from the leading newspapers and periodicals in our country. One of the reasons that this is being promulgated so magnificently in our country is because the government's behind it. They're sort of helping it along. The government people like it. You know why? They're looking for more sources of money. They've almost run out of taxation for the time being. They don't know where to tax us as Americans anymore. They're looking all the time on how they can get more money that they can spend without being accountable for it. And so the whole machinery behind it is to get to the cults and start looking at them and then take their tax exemption away from them so that every contribution to a tax-exempt religious organization will be eliminated, and that then they'll have to pay tax on their income. Then the government will get the what? Tax. And you know why? They got to start with cults. They would not dare to start with the Roman Catholic Church. They wouldn't dare to. They would not dare to start with the National Council of Churches. They, or the world, they wouldn't dare to. But you know who they dare to start with? A cult, as they call it. And all they're looking for is just tax money. But I want to tell both the Roman Catholics and all the Protestants, if they once get to the cults, they're going to get to you. It's just time. Just time. All the news releases, the radio, the television, the newspapers, the periodicals, are so geared not basically to ever tell you, quote, the all truth, end of quote. This is why in government you have, in the Department of Government, you have the Department of Propaganda. You know what a Department of Propaganda is in God's terminology? It's spelled in three letters or so, for L-I-E-S. To tell people what they want them to believe. It is seldom the all truth. We talk about the freedom of the press. It's the freedom to lie, the freedom to send out propaganda, the freedom to program your mind to get you to believe what they want you to believe. It's not the presentation generally of all truth. It is slanted. And basically it's designed to sell their product. And if you have any question about it, 1 Timothy 6:10 has the answer. It's the love of money that's the root of what? I have never seen a theologian expound that. Nor have I ever seen in the commentary. Yet that's why the Word of God says it's the love of what? That's the what? Root of all evil. So anything else would only be a symptom. You know, ecology, social problems are just symptoms. The Word of God says that the root is the love of what? Is that what it says? That's what it means. As things are going in our country tonight, the very men whom we've elected to office, whom we finance, whom we support, whom our tax dollars back up as American citizens, are going to do their best to destroy the very ministry for which we have given our lives. I just saw a publication last week in which they said that I made you kids eat out of garbage cans. It's unbelievable. Sure, tough is laughing stock, but what do you think the vast majority of the American public believes when they read that? When they read it out of what they believe is a recognized, established periodical, or they hear it on radio, or they see it on their TV, somebody reporting it. What do you think those people, the vast majority, believe? They believe what they're programmed to believe, don't you understand? They're not going to take the time to see what you had on your plate at dinner time today. I was there. And I want to tell you, it did not come out of a garbage can. Also last week I heard again, which I've only heard a thousand upon thousand times, that our ministry is a mind control ministry. Why do they want to feed this to the American people? In order to get to the cult so they can tax them, so they can get to all their money that they think the cults have, and that the government can have it. Well, if any of you have been observing the government lately, I wonder how efficiently and how wisely and how sparingly they're spending the money that you make available to them. And I'm perhaps the man that believes in freedom of will beyond any man living today. And I'm the man that's been teaching freedom of will. There isn't a person in here tonight that held a shotgun to your head and demanded you're in here. Nobody held a stick over your head or a 2x4 and said, you've got to be in this meeting tonight. You came by the freedom of your what? You bet your life you can leave that way too. Long as I live, that's where it stands. Man has freedom of will to make up his own mind. You don't mind control. If there's been any mind control, it's on the government side and on the religious side that I do not represent tonight. I did it one time because I was born and raised in a denominational setup which was geared to take its church magazine and tell the people exactly what they wanted them to hear. Never the all truth of the situation. Understand, we have a elected senator again to the United States Senate from one of the great states of our union, who represents himself as being a Christian. And I understand that he accumulated on gifts and spent $6.5 million to get elected to the Senate of the United States a few weeks ago. Many of you will know his name, and especially if you're from North Carolina, you will. They call him a conservative, biblical Christian man. $6.5 million he spent to be elected as a senator of the United States. And do you know what that Senate seat pays, sir? $57,500. Now, that's not a bad amount of money for senators who half the time are not there anyways. $57,500 a year is his salary. I assume that could be about as much as most of you are making in this auditorium tonight. He is a senator of the United States. He is not my senator. He is the senator for the state that elected him. But he got his money not only from the state, but from people all over the United States. 6.5 million. Now, I'm an awful poor businessman, and I know you fellas are too. You spend 6.5 million on a job that only pays 57,000. You got to be stupid. You got to be stupid, people. Unless that there's something down underneath, someplace, somehow or other, that's gonna bring back 6.5 million. And sir, tonight, if you got $100,000, you can put it in CDs over here in this town and get 9% interest. He took 6.5 million for a job that pays 57,000. Gentlemen and ladies, you got to be stupid if you can't see what's going on. That's what we're standing for as Americans. Allowing it to go on. By the way, I understand he's a millionaire. But he didn't put his million in. He put the North Carolinian and the rest of the people's money in. 6.5 million. I'd like to ask you something, just plain common sense. That's all I ask you. Just think it through. You want to start farming. Let's say you're a young man, you're married, you want to farm. You know how you go about doing that? You go to the Secretary of Agriculture in Washington. Then you go to your agricultural department at the state level and then down at the county level and the township level where you live and say, I'd like to have some contributions from you so that I can buy the farm, the land, the buildings, and the equipment that I need to farm. Is that how you do it? Or maybe you go around the neighborhood and say, I am running for a farming job. I want to farm. I will need contributions from you so that I can farm. How would you like to open a grocery store in town? And you go to your government agency and they give you the names and the addresses and the telephone numbers of all the people in the area so you can call them up and ask them to contribute to your campaign to open a grocery store. Oh, they got all the names, addressed. I think it's the IRS has all those, don't they? They know your income, they know where you sleep, they know you have your address, telephone number. Call them up and say, I want to open a grocery store in my community. Give me the names, address, telephone, then I can send out information, publicity, so that I can get their cooperation so I can open a grocery store. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to open a grocery store, do you know where you're going to get the money? You're either going to get it because you earned it before, or your parents left it to you, or you're going to the bank and try to borrow it. And when you try to borrow it from them, you better have a lot more security than they're ever going to give you. How do you get a farm started? See? But somehow or other, if you want to get elected to the government, everybody helps to elect you. 6.5 million to get you your job. A real need, isn't it? You talk about the psychological hoax inducing people to have fear and everything else. It's tremendous time. Is it not true that when you make a report, income tax report, that you can give money to a candidate and take it off even on that report you make? I wonder why they make that deductible. Somehow or other, these are supposed to be men who work for us. We vote, we elect them, they're supposed to work for us. But how many of them are working for us, or are we working for them? We elect the very people that we're supposed to work for. Government agencies. They tell us what to do, and they're the very people we've elected. They're the very people we pay their salaries. Lordy Pete, if you're an employer in a small store, and the fellow doesn't carry out of his work, what do you do to him? Oh, God. You fire him. You discontinue his working for you because he's not doing his job, right? IRS, are your employees mine? But they don't work for us. We work all the time for them. People were being led like sheep to a slaughter. And only when the blood runs red may a few ever rise up and take a stand. The whole psychology behind the Guyana stuff and other things that are happening in our country is to make men afraid. People are more afraid of the banker and a government man than they have ever been a God Almighty. Somebody once says, well, he doesn't collect taxes every year, so I don't know. You see, the programming of the mind to build this kind of fear in people, they're afraid to stand, afraid to think, afraid to be honest, and never get around to telling the whole truth, only slanted. I talked to one of our people in Iran, Tehran, Iran, where the magazines have carried pictures, and she happens to have been at the same place where the magazine showed the pictures, and she said it did not happen. They took segments of pictures and then put them together to make the magazine say what they wanted to say. She was there. In Romans 3:4 it says, we better look it up. Let God be true, but every man a what? As it's written. And that's it. God is truth, his word is truth, and every man is a what? So I'm pretty sure I cannot basically believe what men say unless they have the word of God to back it up with. That's what the word says. And people, what you put in your mind is what you believe. You can't go beyond what you believe, and you can't believe any bigger than what you programmed your mind to. So when you're getting all these news releases, radio, television, everything else, this is what you send to your mind. What are you going to believe? It's impossible, sir, to believe anything else than what you send up here. Because all of your decisions are made what you send to your mind, the programming of your mind. If you really want to know what happened
in Guyana, what is happening around our country and world, I invite you to join me this summer in June at an advanced class. I'm going to be teaching that I'll handle the answers from the Word of God to all of these questions for men and women who want to know truth. We're going to be doing that class June 16th to 30th. You see, John 17:17 says that the Word of God is truth. Thy Word is what? Truth. God is truth. His Word is truth. Every man is a what? That's right. Now, if you allow man to send all that fear up in your mind, that, for instance, the way ministry is a cult, they make you eat out of garbage cans, they control your mind, you have no freedom. If that's what you fed to your mind, that's what you're going to believe, because you have believed a lie. Every man is a liar. The Word of God is truth. So if you really want to know the answer to the problems, get in the advanced class this summer. Every day during that advanced class, we're going to have four major teaching sessions, all from the greatness of that Word. And I think it's a good vacation. Because to me, a vacation is a mental attitude, not a location. And during those 2 weeks, we're going to have a session, the first session, 6:30 in the morning. Then session number two is going to start at 9:15 and go to 12 noon. And during that second session, I'm going to have a guest teacher. I will do 1 hour of teaching, and one of our guest teachers will teach 1 hour. The third session of the day will begin at 3:00 in the afternoon and go to 4:30, and that will be a guest teacher doing a series in the advanced class. And the fourth session every day will be from 7:30 in the evening till 10:30 at night. And I'll be teaching 2 hours in that period of time. All of my teaching is going to be filmed because it's the advanced class. So I'll be teaching 3 hours a day, plus these other guest teachers, plus all of that. So if you want to get some answers on the truth of God's Word and what's happening in our country and world, perhaps you ought to take a look at the advanced class. To our WOWs all over the country and world that want to come in, there's a $50 less donation if they want to. And of course, Interim Corps, 8th Corps that's out on the field with WOWs have the same privilege as the WOWs. I'd also like to say tonight, while I'm thinking of this, and that you don't have to make all your donation at once, but get a $50 registration in there. Send that in. But we can't finally process. International cannot finally process your application until all the requirements are completed. And the requirements beyond that are very simple. Take the foundational class twice. It doesn't even say you have to stay awake in it. Do your home studies and do the comprehensive exam. That's all. I would like to suggest that those of you who have taken PFAL a number of times and never been in the advanced class, I call you old timers. You're the ones that ought to get in this advanced class. Because the advanced class I want to do is primarily for those who have never taken it before. But I'd like to say to you grads that have taken it, you get registered in also, because I will guarantee you there'll be a place for you. For all grads, there will be a place for you. And there's one more thing I ought to share with you, and that is, you parents who have children, make arrangements to have your children taken care of, because we cannot take care of your children at the advanced class. We have no children's fellowship set up, nor could we do it, because you're going to be in sessions from 6:30 in the morning till 10:30 at night. And you can't have too much time to take care of a dozen children at that type of thing. There's a record in 2 Timothy that I'd like for you to look at. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. God has not given us what? But of what? And of what? And of what? Then it is not God who introduces fear. If it's not the true God that introduces fear, then it has to come from the other source. And the whole psychological hoax today being promulgated on us is to make us afraid. God has not given us a spirit of what?
Fear.
But of what?
Power.
And of what?
Love.
And of what?
And
that's right. And ladies and gentlemen, unless you have a knowledge of the true God and His Word, you have an unsound mind. An unsound mind. And in the psychological terminology that they use themselves, an unsound mind is an insane mind. So the psychological hoax is to tell those of us who love the true God and His wonderful Word and His Son, Jesus Christ, that we have an unsound mind, when the Word of God says that they're the ones that are insane. God has not given us what? But of what? And of what? And of what? Now, there's only one way you can get around it, and that is to say God's Word lies. It's your privilege. But it's also my privilege to believe it. If you have the privilege of rejecting it, I have the privilege of what? Accepting it. I want to tell you something. I got more proof on my side than you've ever had. But you have the privilege of not believing it. That's the psychological hoax. The whole thing is geared to program your mind to build fear in you. My Bible says that the love of God casts out fear. Perfect love casts out what?
Fear.
What's this? So if you want to get rid of fear, you have to have perfect love. And you can't have the perfect love until you have the perfect lover. Girls? The perfect lover is Christ in you, the hope of glory, God's only begotten Son. And with Him, you can cast out what? I think our way people need to take the foundational class again. Session 1. Master it. Because once you're committed to the integrity and accuracy of God's Word, perfect love casts out fear. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but a sound mind. The psychiatrists and the psychologists have developed all of their tests to test you by the root of an unsound mind. That's the test you have to take. And if you passed it, I cannot pass one of their tests. They would declare me insane. That's right. Because they didn't build their test to test truth. They made up their tests from unsound minds as to what is the normative unsound mind. Psychology was born in a seance room. It's still there. Because until you come back to God and His Word, you've got to be wrong. Every man is what? Amen. And God does not give fear. And the whole basic fabric and roof of our life today is to build fear in people. Have you read your newspaper today? Don't. It's full of fear right on the front page. It'll have to be. I haven't read it either, but anybody want to bet any money, I'll bet. All fear, 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 fear. No man is ever a success at anything that's full of fear. You can't succeed at anything if you're full of fear. You would fail at business if you were full of fear, sir. The only thing that ever succeeds is positive believing, not fear. And faith is the opposite of fear. And that comes from God and His wonderful Word and His Son, Jesus Christ. Yesterday, West Point played Navy. The Army played the Navy yesterday, you know, kick the pigskin, or play with it, or do something. It's a great classic every year. I don't know, 69 years they've fought every year. I mean a Navy fight. But that's not the only time they fight. You ought to be at the Pentagon at times. But this is with a football. And I was real intrigued at halftime what I heard. If I heard this right, maybe you men who have graduated from West Point or from the Naval Academy, we have some of you in here in the Corps. Maybe if I'm wrong, you could correct me. But if I understood the fellow right yesterday, he said that when you attend West Point and you graduate from West Point, you are committed to the government for 5 years service after that. I graduate people from the Wake Corps every year with not one commitment of even 1 minute of service after we graduate you. And yet the United States Army can graduate you from West Point and you've got to serve for 5 years afterwards. Now it seems to me if this could be required by the freedom of their will, you register in, you got to have a little help from the senators and representatives to get in. But let's say you make it, okay? You by the freedom of your will got in, right? What did you commit yourself to? 5 years service afterwards, right? How'd you get in the Wake Corps? Freedom of will. How'd you get in the law program? I don't even ask you to stay on afterwards. I just ask you to stay while you're there. It's supposed to be. I think we sort of have a lot of things confused in our day and time. Had a father call me wanting his daughter home for Christmas. You know, we were in a war a couple years ago, and I can just imagine that same father calling the President of the United States. Say, sir, we got a plane ticket for our son. He's down in Vietnam. I'd like to have him home for Christmas. Will you please fly him back? He never even thought about it, right? But when it comes to Christianity, that's hogwash, it's nothing. Nobody's ever committed, nobody's ever sold out, and you can lie anytime you want to. Don't make any difference what you committed yourself to in Christianity. It can be changed anytime. So you sign up for the Wake Corps. What difference does it make? I'll leave anytime I want to. You go wild and you said by the freedom of your will, 1 year you'd stick on the field, even during Christmas, and you knew it. But now comes Christmas, oh, I'm going to go home. That's about the height in which Christianity stands today. You got more respect for the government than you have for God, and that is idolatry. If the government can take our men and our women and keep them in Vietnam over Christmas, certainly my rows who committed themselves by the freedom of their will can be, because many times you didn't go to Vietnam by the freedom of your will, you went by whatever they passed out and called your number. And they want to take guns away from us. There they want to give them to us. And they say, we give you a gun, we train you to shoot that son of... Boy, we got to really be flipped in our heads. Look, when I made a commitment to God many years ago, that stands, sir. If nobody believed, nothing above it. Now, I love these, our United States, and every place I teach, the flag of the United States flies. I don't believe in a lot of things that our country is doing, which is contrary to God's word. I don't condone evil. I don't condone sin. I don't back it up. But I'm a part of these, our United States, and I stand for that flag. I've seen that flag trampled underfoot in other countries where I've been. I didn't like it. Still don't like it. Blew some of your minds in Wichita last week when I made you stand with me and pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States with the Bible over your heart. Your stupid hand don't mean a thing because it's dirty and filthy. You cheat with it one way. I want the word, Babby, right here. This is how I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic, not the democracy, it's a republic. Democracy is mob rule. To the republic for which it stands, one nation, under whom? Amen. That's what I hear. Indivisible, sir, with liberty and justice for all. But I love God more than I love anything else in the world. And I got my knowledge of God, honey, from this little book. This is God's rule and regs. Here's what you play by. You don't play by Playboy, you play by the Word of God. I'm glad you like me. Shoot. People, the whole psychological hoax that has been perpetrated on us is almost unbelievable. That we intelligent human beings, so-called, could be so led to the slaughter without anybody objecting to it. Oh, it's nice talk, you know, but nobody does anything about it. Christianity is way down here. Way, way down. So your commitment to God, oh, you can break it any time. Your commitment to any Christian prince, we can break that any time. But don't you break the one to the banker. That old bird will be selling your property, getting his money. But God, you can cheat on him any time you want to. Well, there'll come a day. It's really something. Why don't you go to John 6, please? The record here in John 6 is very significant. John 6, 64. But there are some of you that believe what? Not. Some that believe not. And then Jesus said in verse 65,
No man can come unto me except were given him of my what? And from that time, many, verse 66, of his disciples went back and walked no more what? With him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter, verse 68, answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. From that time, many of his disciples went away. All over our country today, the way ministry is losing people right and left because of what I've shared with you tonight. They're freaky, they're afraid, they're no longer standing. But I'd like to ask you, where did you receive any light that made any sense? Where are you going to go? Jesus found his people walked away from him. And he finally had to turn to the 12. That was his twig. That was his innermost core. And he said, you're going to leave too? And that fantastic Peter, and I love that fella. He was so fantastically human. Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Where are we going to go? Only you have the words of what? All right. And that's what I'd like to say to the people of the Way Ministry and to the nation in which we live. Only God's Word spells out God's will. Only Jesus Christ has the words to eternal life. And ladies and gentlemen, life eternal, eternal life is a lot longer than 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years. You've got to be a fool to stake your life on 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years when all eternity is available to you. Where are you going to go? Only one place to go, back to the Word. You've got to come back to God and His wonderful Word. There is a privilege of responsibility that once a man has been taught the accuracy of God's Word, the only acceptable alternative to walking on the Word is oblivion. It's in the Gospel of John, where Jesus had been meeting with his apostles, and he had shared the same bread, wine, everything else with all 12. But there was one there who really didn't want what he offered, what Jesus offered. And that one walked out on that occasion. And the record in John 13:30 says, when he walked out, it was night. It was night. Whenever anybody walks away from the integrity and accuracy of God's Word, the truth of His wonderful Son, Jesus Christ, and the power of His Holy Spirit, you are walking back into the night of the soul. You're walking in the darkness. He walked out, and it was what? Night. 1941, June 41, I began in a ministry which today is represented in what is known as the Way Ministry around the world. My desire at that time was to bless people and help people. I still have the same desire in 1978. And when a man has spent this many years, since 41 to 78, getting involved in helping people, wanting to help people, not taking advantage of them, just for many, many years, just working the Word so the Word could again be living and real. That man has come to that place in his life that he just cannot afford to budge. Where should I go? I do not know where to go but to Him who has eternal life. I don't know any other place to go. The government can't give you life. No doctor can give you life. Only God. And ladies and gentlemen, that's why I am so terribly opposed from the accuracy of God's Word to all the negatives that you are programmed by what is sent to your mind via the media of communication. The only way I know to change it is by changing the programming you're sending to the mind. And I recommend taking a look at the book. Working the integrity and accuracy of this Word and spending time in the Word to program your mind so that you can live in an age when persecution is right at the door. And the persecution, as we read in Matthew, came and the people sold out quickly because they did not believe in the integrity and accuracy of the Word. I know this has been much different than I ordinarily am involved in, but I thought it had to be said tonight, and had to be said in the only way I know how to say it, and that is with the love of God in my heart. First of all, for God, His wonderful Son, Jesus Christ, and the inherent and inerrant accuracy of His Word, and secondly, because I love that flag of the United States of America. And I trust it'll give you something to think about. For some of us, the thinking is over with. We are committed. We are sold out. We have made up our mind. We don't even think about it. It's all over with. It's just the way of life for us. Not a way, it is the way. Because all other ways end up in dead alleys. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, the life. There is none other. Father, I thank You for somehow or other stretching forth Your arm and protecting our ministry and the people who desire to walk. Thank you, Father, for making Your Word living and real. Father, from a human point of view, I'm totally incapable of doing the things which You're doing through Your Word ministry. And again, You just have to take the words that I've shared with you, these people tonight, and you've got to make them live for them, Father. They have to see them in the context of Your divine presence and not just in another silly little old human being whose life doesn't mean much. And to judge You not by my life, but to judge You, Father, by the greatness of the Word that You represent. And let that Word stand. And Father, I just want Your Word to live in the hearts and lives of people. Thank You in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless.